This is an Enterprise Times podcast. My name is Ian Murphy. I'm here with Rachel Podreski from Imply Data.
Hello, good morning. My name is Rachel Podreski, and I have a little over 20 years of experience in the data warehouse world. Most recently, I've joined a startup called Imply Data, and Imply Data is the company behind Apache Druid, which is an incubating project within the Apache Software Foundation.
What makes Druid different from traditional data warehouses?
That's a great question, and I wouldn't actually call Druid a data warehouse. It's a new type of database. Let's think back to the world of mobile applications. When people started building mobile applications, traditional relational databases started to not be able to be up to the task. First off, the MySQL database that was heavily used at Facebook ended up getting sharded, and I like to say put together with thumbtacks and gumdrops and try to keep going in kind of some unnatural way. And so databases that we like to refer to as NoSQL databases came up to fulfill this need for high volume, low latency, fully distributed applications. For example, when Netflix goes down, it's not just, hey, there's an outage. Probably it will be in the papers. World leaders will comment on it. I mean, it's a big deal. Databases like Apache Cassandra and MongoDB, those started to emerge to be able to provide the needs that relational databases at the time couldn't. Now let's fast forward probably about 10 years, and just as data warehousing was about 10, 15 years behind OLTP databases, relational databases and the traditional databases that people use for doing analytics can no longer maintain the same qualities as they did earlier. So some of the same problems we had with transactional processing is happening now. So people want data in the same way as they wanted transactions about 10 years ago. So you have these appliances that had come out, Teradata and Netezza and Greenplum, then got shifted into the cloud with the Snowflakes and the Redshifts and the BigQueries. But at the end of the day, they're still working on the same idea, the same kind of relational principles. Druid was designed because there needed to be a database that could support an interactive data application. When you needed an application that your analysts could work with, have a conversation with the data, and not just, hey, I'm going to build a report and press go, and now we're going to wait.
But the problem of volume, everybody assumed, was simply throw more CPU at it. Throw more memory at it, have faster storage mechanisms, and we move very quickly then into in-memory databases. But that doesn't solve the ability to get data in unless you're on a very limited number of sources. You're addressing vastly different sources and trying to boil that massive amount of data that companies have got coming in into one solution.
Microservices architectures have become very in vogue, and products like Apache Kafka, which is the conference that we're here today, keeps all those different applications and all those microservices primed with the right data. Your data analytics applications work in the same way. They need to be fed by the same data hoses or pipelines that your microservices-based applications are. Druid is one of the first databases that have a native ingestion tasks from Kafka, Kinesis, and other sort of streaming sources, as well as traditional batch sources. And by traditional, I mean like S3 or HDFS, because there still is a need to look at historical data. So it's not just reading off the stream or querying off the stream. You also want to merge that with historical data, be able to give yourself, in the terms of ad tech data, for example, not only knowing what the customer is looking at, what pages they just looked at, but also their history and be able to make a recommendation quickly and the most relevant, because that's going to get you the most amount of money.
How many of the customers are using you then as their system of record in terms of the final storage of the data? And how many of them are using you as a pass-through engine, e.g. capture from multiple sources, drop into you, carry out their analytics, write out their system of record?
That's a great question. If you go to the Powered by Druid page on the Druid website, you're going to see lots and lots of customers talking about this. I had this exact same question for our CTO not too long ago, and he said it was about 50-50. The ones that are more pass-through are going to be more machine learning, more AI, more where the queries or the analytics that are coming through the system are used more of in a transactional way. You're using Druid as an analytic transaction engine. Am I coining a new phrase? But this doesn't stop the fact that Druid still can act as the database that powers a front-end application, that being a UI that was custom-built, something like Grafana, Superset, Tableau, or the Imply UI, which is what my company Imply provides.
When we think about use cases, and we think about volume of data, people tend to think about, oh, I've just got to capture all this data and get it locally. But for certain use cases, IoT, AI, cybersecurity, we're actually as much about the diversity of that data, and diversity means complexity of getting the data in. What are you doing to solve that?
We're relying a lot on the fact that Kafka and other streaming technologies are already there to solve those types of problems. Druid itself can ingest from multiple sources. Each individual source might be able to be brought together into either a single underlying data source or into separate data sources, depending on what the client's needs are, and then either unioned at runtime, unioned in a dashboard, or if they're actually brought together in a single data source and be able to do analysis on the combined data set.
One of the challenges to that, though, is we end up doing a lot of ETL. We've got data coming in, it doesn't make any sense, it doesn't match up to this data. Even inside an enterprise, we keep doing ETL. I watched your presentation yesterday, and you showed a very simple way of removing the ETL by just using the JSON files and repurposing in the headers. How did you get to that point?
At the end of the day, it's still ETL. It was a problem 20 years ago. It's a problem now. It's just a lot simpler now with the tools that we have available. I remember integrating 30 data sources back at the turn of the century and taking weeks to cleanse each one of those data sources because I'd have to ship it out, and they would be, in that case, a SQL Server database, and I had to do a lot of manipulation, and then I had to run these very complex Java jobs in order to make calculations. Those tasks right now with Python and with the streaming technologies have become so much easier and so much more streamlined. Many people on my staff use NiFi or they use Python when we need to get to that point. Your ETL does not necessarily need to be that complex because the data sources themselves are richer than the CRM or the ERP systems. So these are machine-generated data. These are not people-generated data. So you're going to have most of the data that you're required to do. So we spend a lot of time mostly just saying, what data do you not need for your analytics when you bring that into Druid?
Removing noise from the data that we bring in is essential. You alluded to that just now. If we look at most people's data, what they actually have stored versus what they actually use is maybe 10 on a really good quality data set, as little as maybe 2 or 3% for most people's data. How easy is it to push that data cleansing, that noise reduction, downstream to the capture point?
Hadoop has made us a little bit blasé about keeping our sources clean because the idea of a data lake where you just, hey, just dump it in there, you don't have to worry about ETL, we'll figure out what to do with it later. That's still an issue. When Druid uses Hadoop as an ingest source, you're still going to have to do some type of decision making on which parts of your data. Again, we still can't get away from the basics of garbage in, garbage out. In order to get good analytics, you're going to have to make some decisions about what data you're looking at. But the tools that are out there, again, I'll mention Kafka, make doing that type of decision-making at the source level much easier. We've progressed from when we would take data from a CRM or an ERP system and push it through very complex ETL transformations in order to get that schema on write that we required for our data warehouse. People now do a lot more schema on read, but the data sources themselves, especially with the machine-generated data, I wouldn't necessarily say are cleaner, but they do have less noise into them. And then Kafka makes it very simple to determine which data do you want and where.
One of the challenges we have when we're taking from disparate data sources is our data scientists, the people at the heart of our analytics, often don't know what those data sources are. They can be set up by a third party. They might be run by a business unit. They might be run by engineers when we start to talk about IoT. How much is the way you ingest data an opportunity for those teams to actually clean and write the ingestion JSON script rather than actually push it all the way back to a group of people at the middle who might be very clever but actually really have no clue what that data is at the outside?
That's something that Apache Druid is in the process of helping solve. We are putting in a new data loader UI into the Apache Druid console in order to make creation of those JSON specs easier and more flexible so you can do more of the ETL transformation as you're building out that spec. And it does push the need to pick the data, the ingestion, much more to the data engineer or to the analyst. And that is the goal around data ingestion, is to give it more to a power user rather than giving it to a developer in order to create the right data set. Won't even need to use the JSON specs. Those will get created for you with a nice little visual UI or back to visual ETL tools. And then you will be able to do further manipulations to that data that's more appropriate for the analyst or power user.
You mentioned earlier low latency. give me enough compute power, a big enough pipe, enough memory, I can always do low latency. Unfortunately, reality is not like that.
No, and not everybody has that type of money either.
So what are you doing to get the low latency?
Oh, that's the good stuff in Apache Druid. This is the reason that I joined. Apache Druid is a columnar data store. Each individual column is stored separately. Each one of those columns, I like to think of it as more as an index than actually the data storage. There's a lot of available documentation on the internal storage formats. The best way I can say it is that it's almost just like indexed. So it's compressed and you no longer have to create your schema and then create a number of indexes on top of it. Or some of the other columnar databases out there like Vertica, where you actually have to create more copies of that data in order to get the query speeds. First off, in order for a query to be fast, it will only go to the file that it needs to go to because each file is its own column. So I'm only selecting 5 columns. I'm only going to need to open up those 5 sets of files, for example. The data is then further partitioned by time. Most analytics queries are time-based or time-bound. So again, we're only going to open up the files that are appropriate for that particular data. Druid also aggregates data based on ingest, based on how you've decided to aggregate the data or which makes the most sense. And then there's some really cool technology in there on getting count distincts and other types of uniqueness out of high cardinality dimensions that allow those rollups to further exist. Think of it now. So now you're only opening the exact files that you need. They are aggregated. They are compressed with things like run length encoding, and they're also already indexed for you. Those are the deep internals that make these queries super fast.
I mentioned 3 use cases earlier, AI, cybersecurity, and IoT. All of them large volume, but also very wide diversity sometimes in their sources. But all of them have one thing in common. They require real-time response to analytics if we're going to be effective. In IoT, if we think about connected cars, we don't make that decision inside 3 milliseconds. We kill somebody in that car. In cybersecurity, if we don't see that breadth of data fast enough, they're inside our system. With AI, it means dirty data gets in or we're very slow to move that engine forward. That then means how do we push that collection further out to the edge? You talked about being able to do that aggregation within the engine. Are you looking at a distributed issue at the moment where you start to say, okay, if we've got a lot of data coming from over there and another lot from over there, why bring it all back and then do the aggregation? Why not put multiple versions of Druid out there that we can then do local aggregation, speed up the processing, and only bring back what is relevant to the core data?
Apache Druid is a distributed system, so it does take advantage of lots and lots of machines. And it is a post-cloud style database, so it understands that you can use different machines for different process types. The bulk of the processing is done on what we call data nodes that holds the historical data and also does the real-time indexing. So for each data source, you are either going to be distributing that data throughout multiple data nodes. You can commingle different data sources on those data nodes. Again, depending on what the architecture that makes the most sense for your application. Then there's a set of nodes called the broker nodes, and those might have more memory or a different type of CPU footprint and maybe less disk, because their job is to take the data from all the different data nodes, aggregate it into a single, then be able to provide the results. I did want to make sure that understood that Apache Druid is a distributed system. In terms of distributed applications, we do have a number of clients that might be using Cassandra in order to distribute the database over multiple regions, and then an individual Druid cluster attached to each one of those regions at the Cassandra level. So rather than using Druid to distribute things through multiple regions, you're using Cassandra to do what it does well, which is distribute through multiple regions, and then using the Druid for the analytics on the end of each one of them.
I was looking at a different level of the distribution. I'm quite comfortable with what you described there. More of, if I've got a car in itself then becomes a cluster. Because if I think about the amount of data being generated by that car, we are talking gigabytes of data once we start to get into fully autonomous vehicles, given the number of CPUs, sensors, and other data. We see that again in complex cybersecurity environments where we have multiple network nodes, and I'm talking about telco-level network nodes, before it gets into the organization. At each of those points, there's an opportunity to be pushing further out. I was trying to get a feel for how many of the use cases you're working on at the moment are looking to push out closer to the edge in terms of a distributed database rather than in the core architecture.
I would say it's mostly in the core architecture rather than in the edge, mostly because Druid is really, really good at very large data volumes. Petabytes under management in some of our largest implementations, over 1,800 nodes. I would say the use case for Druid is much more at the aggregate or at the top level versus maybe more of a time series database that would be used for the gigabit level, more on the edge.
One of the problems with new technology is people like a buzzword. They like to go to their boss and say, "We need this." We see this particularly with blockchain. Every solution to every problem is a distributed ledger at this moment in time. How are you going to stop that happening with Druid?
I would love it if people came to their boss and said, "We want to use Druid." But every database has its niche. We're no longer in a world of, hey, you need a database? Go buy Oracle. And if you can't afford Oracle, well, here, there's a couple of other cheaper options for you. We don't live in that world anymore. If you listen to the vendors, all the vendors want to say, oh, you can use this for everything. And that's not the case. You really need to find a database that fits what your application requires. When I talk to customers, we're looking for low latency queries, where it really does matter if this is going to be sub-second or at the most a couple of seconds. That the speed of it, the ingest rate, is very, very important. Maybe there's not a lot of updates to the data over multiple years, that the data is, for the most part, write once, read many, and that the application that's put on top of it is interactive and requires all those things that make that data interactive. If somebody comes to me and says, I need to be able to do very large joins from multiple fact tables, and I say, and you need to do that in sub-second, you may want to think about your ETL process. And they're like, oh, no, it's fine, 10 to 20 seconds. You know what? There's plenty of other databases out there that's going to fit those needs. So maybe Druid could work, but maybe you should be looking at something different that's more suited for that type of use case.
Sounds interesting. Rachel, thank you for your time today.
Oh, you're welcome.